Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Command Post. John Salka.
Hey, welcome to Fire Engineering Talk Radio and to our show, The Command Post. I'm Chief Rick Lasky, along with my partner and good friend, Chief John Salka. And real quick announcement here, we love the music, the intro music. We're not going to change it because it's the closest we could come to the theme song from Dragnet, right? I mean, John, isn't that what we like? I mean,
absolutely.
It is the facts. Hey, just the fact, you know, I mean, that is, first of all, when you sit there think about what Jack Webb did, I forgot there were two Dragnets, the one in the, 40s and 50s, and the ones they brought in the 60s, until I was doing some research on it. But that guy did a ton of good for law enforcement and for the fire service, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've told that story before about him and Ari Sitter, the big producer, the big, you know, and for those who haven't heard that before, it's kind of a cool story that, you know, the whole, you know, theme, the, you know, Emergency, that show with Squad 51 and Johnny and Roy and all that. But remember, prior to that, they were doing a show called Adam 12, too, and you know, Dragnet, obviously, but Adam 12. And Jack Webb and Sitter were in a car in Los Angeles doing some, I don't know, scouting or filming or whatever, and this fire rescue thing pulled out from the fire department in front of them, and they've never seen that before. So, Senator calls, one of the firehouses there, and I think I'm saying his name right. I keep messing it up probably. But he calls one of the firehouses there, and he's asking, what's this fire rescue thing? And they're like, well, the captain goes, you're going to have to talk to firehouse so-and-so. So they call the other firehouse and another firehouse. And they probably get to, I think the story is they get to, like, the fourth captain. He goes, hey, I got a guy here in my office here. When he talked about James LePage and all that stuff, the founder, if you will, and so they said, stop on by. John, you remember this story. They said, stop on by,
yep,
and we'll explain it. So they get there, they get there, and they're meeting the guys, and they're talking, about what this emergency, this fire rescue thing, and all this stuff, and so on and so forth, And I guess the guy that they really based Chet Kelly's personality on pokes his head at the door and says, are they in for dinner? And they go, yeah. He goes, okay. And he walks out, and he turns on his back. He goes, do they know it's $2? And they have dinner with them. They have dinner. And then when they're done, they play cards to see who's gonna whoever loses has to do the dishes. And he has to
do
the dishes.
And I've been in places that do that, yeah.
Well, and this multi-million-dollar producer, John, has to do the dishes. And the story is when he passed away, he called the guys that were there in that firehouse. His wife called. He couldn't have called. His wife called. His
right.
widow called.
Right.
And his widow called. It got a hold of those guys and said, look, you need to track all these guys down there in that firehouse. We want you to come to his funeral, because he told that story hundreds of times of how he's this big – he's got a lot of money, well-to-do producer, and how he was in a firehouse, and they treated him like he was a normal person, and he doesn't get that treatment. He loved it, and he fell in love with firefighters and paramedic service instance. So I thought that's a pretty cool story. Pretty
absolutely,
pretty
absolutely.
Are you ready for the holidays, everybody?
Absolutely. Well, we got our first, really not our first little snow, but the first little snow that stuck. We got about an inch yesterday. Other places around New York, New York City and Jersey and other places got a little more than us. But it was like the perfect snowstorm, because snow is covering everything. The car's covered. All the grass is covered. And I live out in the woods, of course, so all the way out into the woods is beautiful white snow. But nothing really ever stuck to the driveway or the road. So it was like a snowstorm with no inconvenience at all, which was great. And got all the Christmas lights up. Got Santa Claus. I get the big the big Santa Claus on the fire truck from your wife. I saw that on Facebook when your wife was saying, oh, I got the last one from wherever it was, Lowe's or Home Depot. And my wife sees that. She runs out and goes buys one. So we get the inflatable fire truck from the North Pole not on the front lawn, but the side lawn with a bunch of other snowmen and reindeer and all sorts of other Christmas crap is out there. But, yeah, we're ready.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, you know, we had the weather here, and I mean, the weather all across the country. They had a lot of cold, and obviously it just did a lot of damage in Oklahoma and Texas and so on and so forth. But it was hard getting back, and, you know, when you get down here, it's not something they're too used to, so it gets to be difficult for them to handle all that. But, hey, they didn't have any problem handling in Alaska, did they, and Kenai?
Mm. What a great trip. Well, you know, I get ecstatic about just being in Alaska. I should have been in Alaska. By the way, Alaska and my name have almost all the same letters, just to let everybody who's listening know that. I love Alaska. If I ever get stranded somewhere, I want it to be in Alaska. And if I ever just go missing, go look in Alaska. That's where I'm going to be. It was great.
One less A, and you got it. Well, I mean, we had a great group. Kenai Peninsula Fire Chief Association, Nikiski, the group there. I did a program, Pride and Ocean, for them, and this cabin that was just this hall that was incredible, overlooking this lake, and it is Alaska is another place, another great place in this country. You don't have to leave this country. Well, you have to kind of fly over Canada to get there, but
right,
a great place.
But they're friendly. They don't shoot at us, so we can do that.
No, it's good. There's so many places in this country that you can take a ride, you can see, and all that stuff and everything else. So, but anyway, you know, and. I don't know if I hit you with this already. I know we talked about it earlier. Have you heard from James?
You know what? Actually, a new video just came out, and James's girlfriend heard from him, and she relayed all the information about how well they're all doing and stuff like that. The latest video, which I just I sent out a couple of connections to a couple of people, was I'm still amazed that the Marine Corps has somebody out there doing video during actual exchange of fire. I mean, during a firefight, they're out there. You see guys shooting. You hear the shooting going on in the background, you know, and then I guess they edit it, and they add, you know, some guys talking in the background about what's going on in the scene and stuff like that. My son and one of the other officers, very, very dramatic stuff. If it wasn't so damn scary, if it wasn't so damn dangerous, you know, which is, I guess, what people say that aren't firefighters when they look at our fire videos, like you know, we'll be talking about that this evening, about the photographers and the videographers that film and capture all the stuff that we do. We think it's just a cool fire. There's probably somebody saying, holy crap, that looks pretty dangerous, you know. But I got to say the same thing about the video for the that the Marines put out. And, yeah, he's doing well. And I'm, frankly, Charlotte, I'm just counting the months away. I just want to get to, you know, April and so he can get home, you know.
Well, as cool as the video is to watch our troops in action and that somebody's shown it that way, you know, for real and not like Hollywood, if you will. You know, we all know, and God bless the men and women armed forces that are taking care of all of us all over the world, not just here, but all over the world.
All over the world.
I've said before, John, you know, when you've got a kid that goes, you know, when they head into battle, like you said, you're counting the months. As cool as the video is, you know, it's nice to see them, but at the same time, boy, those are real bullets that they're flying around and.
You're not kidding.
But you got to be proud of the good lieutenant.
Oh, you went through it too. You know? Yeah, when Rick was over there, it's you know, it's tough.
Oh, it is. But you know, I know you guys. I know the FDNY takes care of those that test and pass and end up on their list when it comes to hiring, you know, preferences so and so forth. Like it should be. Like a lot of departments have that the military seniority or the preference points or whatever I should say, not seniority. But
right.
Golly, man, I mean, you know, if you've never done it, all you need to do is hang a flag from your house, and when you see a soldier, sailor, marine, airman, you know, guardsman, you know, whatever, you know, coastie, you need to shake their hands and tell them thank you, because that's absolutely incredible. But hey, I got to go out, John, and do Bobby Chat with our good
what?
Friend and brother. Bobby Halton, Bobby Chat, the Twitter, the Twitter and Google.
Oh, right, I mean, right. Yes. Oh, I remember. Yes.
It was huge. I mean, first of all, Penwell, John, is just, you know, I mean, you get there and here's this gigantic international headquarters, this big building, and there's hundreds and hundreds of people there, and you know, they're publishing all those magazines and all those books and doing all that work. Plus, they're one of the largest exhibitors. You've been at the ICCNet all over the world. John, it was just, it was really cool. I mean, and it was a huge success. And I know Bobby's done a couple already. He did one with Bruno. He did one yesterday with Captain Mike Dugan, one of your friends, our friends. It's been huge, a new way to reach out and grab a hold of people.
Absolutely. And you enjoyed it, right?
Oh, it was, it, you know what, it was awesome. It was fun. We were on live with Google and the Twitter, and I think we ended up with over 86,000 contacts and stuff going on through that and afterwards. And then and during, I'm sorry, during the show. And then I know last week I talked to Bobby, and they were up over 500,000, 500,000 views, you know, everything, contacts with it. So that's pretty cool. And then when we were there, John, we did, you know, I told you about that for our listeners. I filmed, I think, 44 of these Pride and Ownership Minutes. And this is something I talked to Chief Halton, to Bobby Halton, actually a couple of years ago, and then talked again at our last Tulsa meeting, FDIC Advisory Board meeting, was, you know, putting something on the website, John, that, you know, when you're doing your roll call as an officer, you're getting ready to start your volunteer meeting on Thursday night or, you know, whenever, a quick little 3-4 minute little bite. Here it is. And we did 44 of them. And we covered everything from taking care of your tools to bullying in the firehouse to, you know, safety, you know, writ training and logos, everything, you know, 44 of them. And so those are going to be posted for our listeners on the FDIC webpage in the very near future. We'll let you know. They've got a few other folks who are grabbing a hold to do the same thing. So what will happen is every day, pretty much, we're open 7, but at least Monday through Friday, every day there'll be a different one posted. And then they'll be, you know, logged. You can go listen to them all later, but you can play something different. So
right.
I wanted to get that out there. But, hey, next week we're together with our good buddy, Deputy Chief Mike Sawyer, and the members and friends of the Clifton, New Jersey Fire Department.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that. That was a that's been in the works for a while. I know he's been working hard on getting the word out and signing people up, and he's all excited about the couple of folks coming from some surrounding states. I think he's got a pretty good lineup. He's got a great venue. And I think you just spoke to him today as well. I spoke to him today, middle of the afternoon, I think it was, and just double checking all the details of the hotel and all the other stuff. But we're really looking forward to a great, and you know the Company Officer Academy, as we've been saying just about every show, we mention it because there's something else always coming up about it. We're doing a 3-day program with him, and that's going to be that by far is the best. I think we get the greatest response from the audience. I think we get the best feedback too. Although the 2-day ones are great as well, and the weekend ones are great for the volunteers and stuff like that. Obviously, we have to adapt to the different audiences. But the 3-day program is certainly the full boat, you know.
Well, there's so much more material. It's not too much, like some folks trying to do a 5-day, but it's not too little. We've done some 2-dayers for some volunteers and some part-time guys, especially for those that can't take a day off during the week. We've done this Saturday and Sundays. But you're right, John. It's, you know, we got the 3 days. Those are 3 full days, but it fires up us up and them at the same time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Hey, before we move on, again, for our listeners, we wanted to make a special announcement. You know, we don't do this all the time, but this particular individual is done incredible things for the fire service, and it's our good friend Karen Lemming. Karen's with the Tacoma, Washington Fire Department, and she has announced she's retiring after 23 years, 27 in the fire service, 23 years with Tacoma. A lot of you, if you've been to FDIC, if you've been to Keeping Tradition Alive in Lewisville, you've seen Karen. She's one of the drummers, one of the tenor drummers. And first of all, she is a great person. Her husband, I think, John, he retired as well, or he's still active with the fire department. But they just a great person, a true fire service, if you will, sister force. And we just want to throw a shout-out to her, congratulate her. There's going to be her last shift day is in May, actually, and there's a big shindig in June, which I don't know where the hell they're going to hold it because there's going to be a ton of people there. So,
There's going to be a bunch of dang drummers and bagpipes and everything else there. I know that for sure.
You know what? if I could pull it off, I'm teaching. I think you are too. If I could pull it off, I'd be there in a heartbeat just to see that. Be like keeping tradition alive too. Anyway, hey, we need to take a moment here and pause for a commercial break to acknowledge one of our incredible sponsors, Granger, who takes care of us and makes this all possible for you.
The 4,600-page Granger catalog. Every solution on earth for every problem under the sun. And now, it fits in your pocket. Download the app today. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Granger.com, or stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, I guess the question is, John, you mentioned 900,000 products. If I was to guess, how many do you have? Because, I mean, and I know you've got the fire.
Only 300,000.
We say it every show. They're a great sponsor, but they've got great stuff, man. They really do. And if you
I got their catalog. A truck pulled up to my house with a forklift to unload the catalog. The catalog.
Well, now they have an app for all your phones out there and your iPads and that stuff. So.
Oh man, great stuff.
Hey, we've mentioned some great photographers on the show before, like Chief Gordon Nord from Lyons, Illinois. Gordy's been, oh my God, he's been doing incredible stuff forever. I've known Gordon since I was like 15, 14 years old. Gordon's also one of our instructors at FDIC. Other photographers like Maddie Daly in New York, who's been doing it forever, and Steve Reddick in Chicago, not only a photographer, but a legendary Chicago dispatcher, and I do mean legendary. We've got Tony Greco at Hasbrook Heights, John, our FDIC photographer. Tony does a great job. Tim Olk in Chicago, and our own Sherry Hoffman right here in Louisville, Texas. And those are just a few. But what they mean, folks, to the fire service when it comes to painting a picture of what we do, whether it's training, documenting key events, our people as they pass through their careers. I mean, there's just so much stuff. We'll get to this in a second. Tonight we're excited to have Captain Rob Reardon of the Duxbury, Massachusetts Fire Department as our special guest. Rob is a photographer, among other things, everything else that he does. And he's taken some incredible photos of fire scenes and firefighters during his career. Let me give you just a little background on Rob and his accomplishments. This is just a little mind you. Rob Reardon is obviously a captain with the Duxbury Fire Department in Massachusetts, where he's worked for 11 years. In Duxbury, he's the captain in charge of the Regional Communications Center, in addition to being the department PIO. Before being hired in Duxbury, he was a call firefighter in Carver for several years and was the founding member of their photo team. He's been shooting photos of fire scenes for over 20 years, and during those years, he was a stringer, we'll get to that in a little bit, for the Boston Herald, the Boston Globe, and a videographer for New England Cable News, and finally as a videographer with Fox 25 for 6 years before switching careers to become a full-time firefighter. His photos, now John, this is freaking awesome. His photos, and we've got some buddies that do some great work, and if you've seen Rob's stuff, it's awesome. His photos have been used not only in books, newspapers, magazines, on websites, and in calendars, but in catalogs, in training programs, and so much more. And in some of the places they've appeared, for example, are the New York Times, the Boston Globe, the Boston Herald, of course, in Fire Engineering Magazine, and just about every other fire service magazine you could think of, the Engine Company book written by John J. Salka Jr., a guy we know, Five Alarm Leadership, book written by both John and I, Hot Shots book, the Brockton Enterprise, the Patriot Ledger, ABC 2020, CNN, ABC World News, CBS Evening News, and the Discovery Channel, and many more. Absolutely just, I mean, just absolutely incredible. Let's bring on our special guest to tonight's show. Welcome to the Command Post, Captain Rob Reardon. Rob, welcome.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hello, Rob. How are you?
Good, Chief. How you doing?
Not bad, not bad. Hey, listen, let's cut right to the chase here before we get into all this other stuff we're going to talk about. I hate those damn Red Sox. I hate them, okay? But I got to congratulate you.
You know, the guys at the firehouse asked me.
I got to congratulate you. I got to congratulate you. And now that's it. And it's dead. I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
The guys at the firehouse said, are you going to bring up the Red Sox? And I said I would be afraid that I'd get hung up on. So I won't even say anything. I'm just going to say thank you and let's move on.
I jumped right in with both feet.
All right.
As
fair enough.
A true Yankee fan would do. But, hey, Rob, I got a question for you before.
Well, wait a minute. Before you go to a question, I got one more thing to say about the Red Sox. And if and if I live another 75 or 85 years, I guess there's a chance they might win it again, you know?
Oh, God. I'm just going to let it go. For all the hate mail. I'm looking right now. I mean, it's lighting up pretty good. But, Rob, I got to ask before we even get rolling with things here, how did you meet our good friend John?
He came to Duxbury. We ran a seminar, and we hit it off. I went out to dinner with him the night before, and we started talking about his books and something he was working on, and he mentioned he was looking for some pictures. So I said, I can help you out. I've done it for years. I'd love to send you some stuff. So we kind of hit it off. I sent him a bunch of my pictures.
You guys gave me that beautiful, beautiful front piece.
Oh, yeah, Bob Stella,
HelmetShield.com. I'm looking at it right now. It's hanging on my wall in the office.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, we hit it off, and I fed him some pictures for one of his first books he was doing when I met him, and then after that I helped both of you guys with some more pictures.
Yeah.
And I got the opportunity to go out and ride with him, Battalion 18.
Came to ride in the 18th Battalion. We gave him a little show there. I think we had a couple of runs, didn't we?
Oh, the first time I rode with you, the 19th Battalion was out of service or something. They were training. And we went back and forth all day long. I had never seen anything like it. We were we must have been 20 deep before dinner time. So it was fun. And I came out a number of other times, and I think the best honor was when you called me and said you were going to be retiring, asked if I could ride one of your last shifts. We got to drive around the city, photographed you at some of the firehouses you had worked with all the guys you had worked with.
Oh, absolutely, and I treasure those photographs. I got a whole file full of pictures of out on the Cross Bronx Expressway at an accident and sitting in an 88 engine with the guys and stuff like that. Those are just great photos, and I'm so glad I had the opportunity to. You know, a lot of guys don't. A lot of guys work their last shift and either say nothing or just have a couple of friends stop by, but it's just great to have that that extra dimension of the photography, which really, and I'm no photographer, so I'm not even going to try and capture this because we're going to talk to you more about it as a photographer, but you just capture the moment, and I look at those photographs, and I got them on my computer. Even the photographs of inanimate objects, like you took a picture of my helmet up on the shelf on the rack, you know, and it just brings me back to being at work and smelling the firehouse just looking at that photo. So you'll probably never know how much I really do appreciate that.
That's great. And you know what's funny is I have these great fire pictures, people being pulled out of buildings and heavy, heavy fire, and I don't get many emails about that, but I've gotten a lot of emails about your last tour, those photos, and people really like them.
Yeah,
so it's
beautiful,
great.
Beautiful job.
Oh, it was pretty cool, and I got to be on that last, I rode out with John that last shift, Robin. And one of the things, if we know each other, you know, we all know each other rather well, but, you know, when we talk pride and ownership, and one of the things, when Peter Hodge years ago asked me if I'd do the keynote at Indy, and I said, well, what do you want me doing on? He goes, on that ding you do. And I said, what ding? He goes, you know, and he's from Jersey, so it's ding. He says, that ding. I said, no. He goes, you know, when you get up to your bitch about guys that don't care about the job and chiefs that don't care about their people and so on and so forth. And I said, nah. He goes, no, we're losing our toll on the tradition of the fire service. You walk into firehouses now, and the chiefs have scrubbed the walls like they're sterile. There's no pictures. There's no photos of the guys. He says, you used to see pictures of the guys on the wall after a good job. Or when you bought a new rig, he goes, you look at the old pictures, almost all of them, when they got a new engine, new ladder, whatever, the guys were sitting next to it, standing next to it, in front of it or whatever, and now they just pull it out, take a picture. And he says that it's almost become embarrassing. He asked the guys, hey, come on, hurry up, let's get a picture. You know, family's not around. And they're like, all right, Chief, hurry up. This is kind of embarrassing. He goes, we've lost our toehold on something pretty cool and something that just captures so many different things. I mentioned just a few in the lead-in, Rob. When it comes to, I mean, how important is it, from what you've seen, to be able to show that stuff off and let people see photos on your – let me just hone in on that – on the walls of your firehouse?
Oh, I think we just redid our station about a year and a half ago. And that was one thing that was lacking. And a few of us got together, and we actually formed a committee, and we went through, and we found old photos, and we scanned them. We got them all printed up. And we probably have about 70 pictures on the walls now, all around the station. The old trucks, old fires, new fires, you know, the old guys, the new guys, everything. We have them up there. And one thing that we took, a buddy of mine, we went out when we visited Chief Salka. Up on the wall of his firehouse, he had all of his guys. And they all had a picture, and each of them had the American flag behind it. So when we came back, we built that wall at the firehouse.
Oh, did you? Really?
Oh, yeah. So every one of our firefighters, our call firefighters, they're all up on the wall, exactly like you guys did it, the same exact thing. And I think that's so important. That was one thing I grabbed
from you.
I'm
so glad to hear that you picked something from our place that you went and carried on in your place. And you know what? Somebody's going to visit your place and see that and bring it back to their place, and you never know where it ends, you know?
Oh, and you know what? People love it. It's a big hit.
Oh, it's just, I'm telling you, when you walk into a firehouse and walk down the hallway and see pictures of fire scenes, some, you know, MVAs, pictures of the guys that used to work there, you know, I love looking at the pictures of the old-timers and seeing who was there, who rolled out and poured the foundation for the place, you know, if you will. And I just think we're missing that when you're not, I don't know. I just think that that's something we need to get back to in the fire service, is hanging shit on the wall, hanging stuff on the walls again, you know, to kind of show people and remind some of our own people what it is we do and just how special it is what we do. So I love that. I really do. Rob, we got to ask you, what got you into photography? There's always interest that piqued people, but was there someone in your life or just who got you going with it?
It was. I grew up in the city. I grew up in Dorchester, part of Boston, and my grandparents lived on the next floor up from me. So I was with my grandfather all the time. He always had a scanner and he always had a camera. So he got me hooked at a young age. always brought me to the firehouse. My dad brought me to the firehouse. But he was the guy who was always with a camera, and he gave me a camera when I was young, and he always worked with me. So that's what really got me started. I used to ride around Boston on my bike with a camera and a scanner,
wow,
chasing fires. I started that when I was probably 14 years old.
That is so cool.
And then,
now, let me ask you this. Out of your grandfather, he had to have some really cool photos and pictures. Do you remember any that you thought were just like, you know, incredible shots he took or of a scene or something?
You know, he didn't shoot anything crazy amazing, but he would always go shoot fires and he'd bring them back to me and would get them developed. And I remember him back in the day, him having slideshows for me. You know, he'd put the old slides in the carousel,
set up the
projector, and I was just it was great.
And look
you think
what he
of how
inspired.
Different that is now.
Right?
What's that?
Look what he inspired. He's got you. You know, he not only did you get interested in taking pictures of fires, but it probably nurtured your interest in the fire service in general. That grew into you not just taking pictures, but you being a firefighter. So that's just fantastic.
No, it's great. It's great. He definitely he's the one I owe to all of my photography. There's no doubt about it. Then as I got a little older.
Keep going.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, as I got older, once I got a license and started to be able to drive around and chase the fires, I met two important people, two important photographers. One was from the Boston Herald, John Hill, and one was from the ABC affiliate, and Peter Sinatra. And they helped me out so much with my photography. I'd bring them pictures and they'd lay right into me. They'd tell me, no, you know why this isn't good? You know what you got to be looking for? And they taught me so much.
That's what you wanted to ask him about. Yeah.
Well, exactly. I had a question a little bit later on, but let's move it up right now. And some of this we want to hit on tonight. We want to talk about, you know, some of the things you've done and some of your most memorable shots and so on and so forth. But you know, there's a lot of people out there that want to do what you're doing. Like I mentioned before, and I know you know some of these guys, some of the greatest in the business like yourself. And if you're into the job like John and I and the circle of friends we run with, we love the pictures. We love seeing what people are doing. We love the shots for training purposes and so on and so forth. What do you remember? I mean, for some of the new people out there, what advice did they give you about just what you said? They kind of, you know, said, no, not this, do this or whatever. Do you remember? Does anything stand out?
I'll never forget this. I went to a fire in Cambridge, and I had heavy fire blowing out the top windows. I thought it was the best picture I've ever taken. It was. You know, it was one of the biggest fires I had gone to at that age. And I brought it to Peter Sinatra, and I said, look at this. Isn't this unbelievable? And this is the advice I always give people. He said to me, a picture is flat. There's no depth. If you don't make the depth, it's going to look flat to people. You need to give it a foreground and a background. And all you shot was a building. You didn't have anything in the foreground. You didn't have a fire truck. You didn't have a firefighter advancing a line. So if you look at a lot of the shots on my website, you'll see there's always something in the foreground. And that's probably one of the biggest pieces of advice best pieces of advice I ever got.
Well, real quick, before we
I
even
never
go
thought
any
about
further,
that.
We've got a ton of people that listen to us. We have a ton that are listening right now, and even more. We get thousands and thousands of hits afterwards with the show. But real quick, I was going to ask you at the end, while we're doing this, a lot of guys have the ability to jump around on the Internet and stuff. What is your website if somebody
sure.
wants to go look at your stuff right now while we're talking to you?
Sure. It's allcompaniesworking.com.
Allcompaniesworking.com. Okay.
Well, and I've been to that website a number of times. Great stuff on that site, yeah.
Well,
and if you happen to go to the website, one of my favorite sections is old school. I just turned 40 years old this year, so I've been shooting for close to 30 years now. Once I got a
You're
license,
baby.
The first night
You're
I was
baby.
Gone. All around the city, chasing fires. And some of my best pictures are from when I was a teenager.
Really?
Chasing the fires in Boston. Some great stuff. Some of the old black and white pictures, I love it.
What was your most ever dramatic picture? Dramatic.
There's two pictures.
Well, yeah. He's taken thousands. I've always wondered about
that. I think you used it in one of the two books you had. It was the picture of the three firemen. They're going in a storefront, and there's two of them that are crouched down. They have a hose line, and then the boss is behind them, and he's pushing them down as the fire is just coming over their head. And the funny story behind that is I had my junior operator's license, so the lights go down at 1 in the morning. I got to be back. So Friday, Saturday night, 1 o'clock, I had to be in the house. So 1 o'clock, I'm back at the house. 1:15, Boston strikes the box. This fire is so close to my house. It's probably half a mile down the road. So they're tapping it out, report a fire in a storefront. So I said, forget it. I jump in the car, off I go. I get there, and the good thing was the police never bothered you. I could get in pretty close. So as they were going in the front there, it didn't look that dramatic, but as they pushed the door open, the fire came right out, right over their heads. It made for three amazing shots as the boss pushed the two of them down and the fire came over their heads. So I've always loved that photo. And honestly, it never went anywhere until, I think, I'm trying to think of which book, maybe Engine Company that you put it in?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably one of my favorites.
Oh, I'm glad. I didn't know the history behind that shot.
Well, and
yeah,
I'm
it's
kind of
funny.
I'm...
You know, one of my most favorite shots that, you know, I always thought could have been a cover shot, but it was shot in black and white. So if it had been color, it probably would have been different. But that's one of my favorites
yeah.
by far.
Yeah.
Well, and there's some pretty dramatic stuff. I'm looking right now at your webpage, the top center of the officer and the firefighter carrying a victim, female victim. Out.
Yes.
And that's just
yep.
that's just the, I mean, golly, when you look at some, yeah, that's the first one that pops up when you go to old school on the left-hand side, just incredible shots. Well, I mean, and that was your most memorable and most probably dramatic, because it's hard. I've asked my buddies before. I used to ask Gordon Nord what was his most, you know, we would talk about it. He's like, God, I don't know, because you guys have thousands of photos and stuff
and Rob, I'll bet when we describe a picture that's yours, like off the site, if you weren't looking at the site, when we start to describe a picture, I'll bet you could probably remember almost every photo you've taken, I'll bet, right?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely.
Now listen, absolutely. I got one more question. This is a little bit of a different question, but I've always wanted to ask.
Yeah.
Well, I like to ask guys who take pictures, guys who are fire guys, they're firefighters, but they're also guys that take pictures, right? Which is a pretty unique collection. Have you ever taken? I'm sure you've taken a picture. Could you tell us about any photo that you've ever taken where you are unsure if you should be taking it?
Unsure, John. I know what you mean, but hold on one second.
I mean from a perspective of privacy, or maybe it's an injured firefighter and you thought maybe I shouldn't take this picture or I should. And I don't want to give too many examples, but have you ever taken a picture where you were thinking, oh, gee, should I take this or shouldn't I take it?
I think that was for the first long time. It took me years to get used to taking pictures of some of the stuff, some of the most basic things. You feel out of place. You know, as a kid, you're not a firefighter. You're just there stringing for the local paper. And so guys are looking at you like, who's this kid? So even the most routine fires, sometimes you're like, I don't know if I should be taking this picture. But as I did it more and more years, you get more and more comfortable. And you get to that point when you go to a firefighter's funeral where that awkwardness, you realize you're actually, you know, you're recording history. And as bad as the circumstances are, we're showing people what we do and how we.
Would you say there's anything you would? Would you say there's anything? Is there anything that you wouldn't take a picture of?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll be honest. When I worked at the TV station, which is the last job I had before I got a job as a firefighter, there's definitely things where it's not really fire-related, other horrible stories where I remember one time I called them and said, I'm not doing it. I'm all done. Find somebody else. It's just, you can't do this. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I understand.
Well,
another quick question. Rick, I know I'm monopolizing this, but I just got one more quick question.
No, go, buddy.
totally unrelated, but from a pure mechanical, from a pure technical standpoint, somebody who's interested in picking up a camera, maybe going out tomorrow, turning on a scanner, taking some pictures of fires or accidents or whatever, what's a good camera for this kind of work?
I always give people advice. It's definitely not the camera. It's the photographer. So, you don't need a $3,000 camera to take these pictures. Some of the best pictures I've taken, that picture, if you look on my website, allcompaniesworking.com, on the front, the right as you open it up, there's a black and white with the three firemen and the fire coming over their head. That was a cheap camera I bought used for under $100. The lens, I remember buying it. I couldn't even tell the brand. It was $17. And then I did buy a flash that was probably about $80. But you don't have to go out buying expensive cameras. Whether you buy Nikon, whether you buy Canon.
What do you shoot with now? Not
I shoot with Nikon.
Got experience in Nikon?
I shoot Nikon, and I honestly didn't spend a lot. I spent I went from professional back to consumer. So right now I'm honestly shooting consumer cameras. And on that front page of my website there, one of those was front page of Firehouse Magazine. That was a $400 camera. So you don't need to spend thousands and thousands. I right now just shoot a Nikon D5100. It's nothing fancy. You can get any digital SLR, and you'll do fine.
Well, and I remember, one of the things we've talked about for a lot of folks that are listening and everything else is I had a lot of questions, and I started taking pictures while I was young, but nothing like what you do, and mostly accidental stuff, and did a lot of photography for my daughter's softball team as she was growing up, when she was like 7 years old through high school. of her playing and things like that. And I learned some stuff, but I tell you, some of the best fire stuff I learned was from people like Gordon Nord in Chicago. But you want to hear just a really cool story. I've mentioned this a few times before. John, you've heard this. But, Rob, when I was living up in Chicago, we had a big seminar that weekend, and I taught at it. Skip Coleman from Toledo taught it. At the time, Deputy Chief Nick Visconti from FDNY taught at it. Bob Pressler was there from FDNY and Mike Lombardo. And I remember, like it was yesterday, we got done teaching, and instead of going to a bar and drinking and you know, getting, you know, whatever, they wanted to go fanning. They wanted to go fire fanning, taking pictures. So we loaded up in the van, and I drove them around, and I'm sitting there. We're at this fire in the southwest side of Chicago, Rob, and I'm standing there, and I'm looking, I'm going, I'll just pick on Nick Visconti because, John, you know him well. I'm like, here's one of the deputy chiefs from New York City, and he's chasing fires in the south side of Chicago with a camera, taking pictures, and we had to drive by firehouses, and we're, you know, getting the scenes and running down the street and stuff like that. I'm like, you know, so for some of you people out there that think, well, this is just someone that has fun with a camera, I'm talking some pretty big monumental folks in the fire service that were making me, you know, they're going, drive faster. I'm going up there as fast as we can. And it was just, I'll never forget that as long as I live, how cool that was. And that, you know, that whole love for the job stuff, that's it. That's it. That's loving the job and what you do and being passionate about it, you know. I mean,
right.
Let me ask you this. You kind of hit us a little bit. You know, we've talked to a lot of young firefighters. I can't tell how many people come and say, you know, I wanted to start taking pictures. I've done this. I'm like, I'm the wrong person to talk to. There's experts out there, like obviously yourself, Rob. But, you know, just take a moment here. And John and I were talking about this before we went on the air. You know, I had a list of questions I wanted you to just address if you could. And I can throw them all out there real quick because they kind of go the same. I think you'll hit on them all once. But a lot of guys ask, how do you pick which calls to respond to? If you're, you know, I know I've been there where I want
to respond to to take pictures.
Yeah, to respond to take pictures.
Okay, yep.
I want to go,
sure.
You know, I want to go take pictures. How do you, you know, you're listening to the scanner, you listen to the radio. Is it luck? Is it chance? Is it perseverance? I don't know. How do you pick them? What do you do?
You know, I think when I first started, I wasted a lot of gas. I learned by just trial and error. I went to everything. And, you know, you were excited. You wanted to take pictures. And then eventually you started to realize which ones you want to go to. I'm trying to think. A couple of years ago, I went to and I hate to say great, but it was a great church fire. And that picture went everywhere. Everyone, I've never had a picture that just went viral. People were calling, magazines, training manuals, all sorts of people were calling. And but I try to go to, you know, if there's a fire in a commercial building, better chance I'm going to actually see something if it's not close to me. Whereas a house fire, you know, if it's 20 minutes or 30 minutes away, there's little chance I'm going to get anything
over.
Good.
Yeah.
But bigger buildings, commercial buildings, those will hopefully be around a little bit longer, and, you know, you get some good action.
You said wasted gas. It's kind of funny because, and I got it. You just reminded me of another great story. I got to tell it. But when I was living up just outside Chicago, there were some legendary battalion chiefs. It was just some great people. And there was this one battalion chief, and he was in the 13th Battalion, and they even have the best of the 13th Battalion. And Tommy O'Donnell, and I'm trying to remember, O'Donnell O'Connell, and if Steve Reddick's listening, call me or text me or whatever. The guy that the tapes, Rob, John, you heard me, John, do his imitation for you. He had like 40 years on Chicago when he retired, and he talked like this, and he'd go, Battalion 13 to Maine, and he'd rattle off different calls and stuff, and he'd, you know, and that's how he was. And I'll never forget, I'm listening to the scanner, and all of a sudden I hear Battalion 13 to Maine, and they go ahead, Chief. He goes, Office, go ahead and strike a 211 on this, and get ready to go with more. He goes, I've got a, like a 5-block by 7-block, the old Montgomery Ward's building that's under demolition here. We got a fire in the center of this thing that we can't get to. And if we don't get to this thing really quick, this is going to be the biggest fire this city's ever seen since that damn cow kicked over the lantern. And I'll never forget Mrs. O'Leary's cow, which is a lie anyway. But anyway, I jump in my car and I'm on Madison Street. I'm driving. I'm in Chicago. And traffic, like, because it's only two lanes there. It's in the city. Traffic is all, like, slowed down. I'm like, this is like the evening. This is after supper. It should be. I'm like, God bless America. Where'd all these freaking cars come? And I look over. And there was my buddy Gordon Orr. And look, there's another buddy. I think it was all the buffs heading to the fire. When you said wasting gas, I'm going, I remember being stuck in traffic because everybody trying to get to the fire. But how do you? I mean, we always tell people, you know, you got to have an idea where to park. And how do you not? I'll ask you this. Here's the big one. How do you not piss off, you know, the cops and even some of the firefighters? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know as a chief what I expected were people, you know, just to not get where they get hurt, but. How do you develop those relationships, I guess?
One of the easiest ways is after you go to a fire, you get some pictures of some guys, you go by the firehouse and you drop them off pictures for free. Thanks for letting me take pictures. Here's a couple prints. Here's my,
good idea.
Here's my name. Here's my card. And then that, guys love to see themselves.
Do you get any calls from guys with the card? Hey, can we get some more pictures from that fire?
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I don't charge. Especially with digital, any of the guys who call me, there you go, it's free. It's the least I can do. I've had wives call. Last year I had a wife call. She wanted me to blow up a big one. I said, I'll send you the pictures. You can print as many as you want.
How cool is that? It's good.
It's good business.
Well, that's got to be
that's
nice.
A great way to do it. Absolutely.
With digital versus
so that's a good way to, you know,
blurry.
Develop friends.
Yeah.
And I did, growing up in the city, I did that for police. I did it for the EMTs. So even if, you know, if I was at a shooting, they all liked having pictures of themselves of them doing their job. And I drop it off, and next time they see you, they're going to say, hey, come on over here. So that worked out great.
Well, and like I said, a lot of people, I mean, and we get along, if people that know us in Louisville, we get along very well with the media in general, because they have a job to do and we have a job to do. And in fact, we got along so well with them, you know, the guys in Dallas and Fort Worth called the media, you know, here, the Louisville propaganda channels, because we were on it so much. But it's exactly what you said. I mean, there's nothing but, you know, and John, how many times we talked about, you can't try to give a firefighter a medal. As much as we joke about engine truck guys, it's like, oh, I was just doing my job, Chief. I was just doing my job. But walk in with a couple pictures of them at a fire. And you know what I'm saying? They'll be pouring your coffee for you, going, what else you got? You know what I'm saying? They'll be knocking each other over
to get the last copy off the table. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, no, that goes a long way.
Well, and before we go any further, I got to ask you a question. I'm looking.
Sure.
Some of the stuff you published. The Patriot Ledger, okay?
Yeah.
Frenzy over the shark. Is that your picture? Is it the picture below? I mean, what picture did you take?
The shark picture. I'm trying to go over
it
right now.
Well, I mean, that looks like a big damn thing.
I know.
What are you talking about?
Oh, John, I'm looking at a picture on Rob's website. I keep going back to his website because I love looking at this stuff. And he's got a section, you know, called Published. And you go through it, and it's all the pictures of magazines and pretty dramatic shit. I mean, I'm talking, you know, crime stuff and fire stuff. And then there's a copy of the Patriot Ledger. July, was that 82, 92?
A long time ago.
And there's a picture, and one of the big picture, there's a boat, and there's a gigantic fin, couple fins, the tail and the dorsal sticking out of the water, and the title is Frenzy Over a Shark. And this is one of his pictures. I had to ask about the shark, so that's where that comes from.
I think
from.
It was just a baffling shark.
Rob, that's your
picture?
Yeah.
Yep.
Very cool.
Yep. And those guys were trying to hook it, and... right after I picked up that shot, I forget who it was. Maybe it was the Quincy police in their boat were headed that way, so they cleared right out. But yeah, just a lucky quick shot. I made it while the fins were up, and then the thing disappeared, and that was it.
And they never
being there at the right time. No. That's a lot of it. You know, being at the right place at the right time. And the other thing, you know, I can offer for advice is anticipation. What's coming next? Be ready for the shot before it comes.
Right.
You know, try to kick in your head.
Especially in a fire.
Absolutely.
You know what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
You know it's going,
absolutely.
And then maybe it's going to get knocked down, or maybe if it's really going for a long time, you're thinking, gee, something might fall down now. We might end up with a collapse here, or the roof might fall in or something, you know?
Absolutely. That big church fire that I have all over the website, they were very concerned the steeple was going in. They thought that it had shifted a little bit. So I had my camera held up for a shot for a long time, just waiting. It never happened, but things like that, you know, that's what you want to anticipate.
Sure.
What's going to be next shot?
Well, how do you get, and I guess the question we get from a lot of people as well is, you know, how do I got some great pictures, I've done this. How do you get your stuff published? I mean, there's so many different, I guess, is it getting a hold of people right away? Is it telling them, especially if you're like, you know, you're not working for a newspaper, you're kind of freelancing, I guess it would be, or whatever. Do you approach people? Do you grab some of the news media? Are those relationships you build as well? How do you get your stuff published?
It's changed so much from when I started, where it was a feat to get your picture on the paper, and now these papers are looking for your stuff. These magazines are looking for you with email, digital images, social media. It's very easy to get a hold of the papers. And a lot of times what I'll do is I'll drop an email to the editor and with one of the pictures and say, hey, this is what I was at. If you're interested in more, drop me a call or an email.
But they know
I'll
right?
send you some more
Rob,
photos.
Now they know your name,
yes,
don't they?
Exactly. I've built up relationships, so they know that, you know, the stuff I'm going to send. If I call, usually it's worthwhile. I don't just call for anything anymore. So it works out
well,
good.
Hey, John, I got a question for you, buddy. We kind of talked about this the other day, too. You know, 33 years FDNY, you know, busy-ass companies in the valleys and everything else. What do the photos mean to you? If I was going to, because I already talked about some of the things I thought, but what do they mean to John Salka?
I'm glad you asked that because I was actually going to, you got to excuse me for coughing and sniffling. I got a damn cold or some damn thing. It's just pissing me off. But anyway, I'm glad you asked that question because I'm sitting in my office right now. I kid around about my man cave. You know, I built this garage a couple of years ago, and downstairs I got all the garage crap. But upstairs is my little man cave. And I got a little office up here, my recliner, my big screen TV, and my desk and my computer and all that. But the walls are literally covered with stuff. You know, of course, I got my plaques when I made lieutenant, when I made captain, when I made battalion chief. You know, in the FDNY, you get a plaque from the company and, you know, good luck on your promotion and all that. I got pictures of my boys, the Marines. I got pictures of my daughter and my son graduating college and some family pictures. And what I did for most of my career was I never really – I can't say I did or didn't collect pictures, but I always put pictures in the same place. The bottom right drawer on my desk is one of those double high drawers that you can put the folders in, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I used to just stuff any pictures I got from anybody, whether they gave them to me, whether I bought them. I didn't buy too many pictures, but I got a lot of pictures over the years in 48 Engine and Rescue 3. We had guys riding with us in Rescue 3 all the time. And I would just throw all the pictures in there. And suddenly, after I retired, they took on new meaning. These pictures that were just laying in there anywhere from 10 years to 20 years to 30 years even, suddenly I had pile of pictures. And I got to tell you what I did. I went to those pictures one day, and almost all of them, I took them all out, and I brought them with me. And I went to that Michael's Craft store, you know, where they sell frames.
Yep.
I had a pile of pictures with me. And I bought a frame for every picture. And I got my whole stairway coming up from the downstairs of the garage, coming to the upstairs, in the stairway, both sides of the wall are lined with pictures of me as a lieutenant in Squad 1 with all the guys, several of whom were lost on 9/11, guys, you know, great guys that were just good firemen. I just loved working with them. And pictures of when I was a captain of 48 Engine and Rescue 3 and 18th Battalion. And, you know, I don't even know who gave me half the pictures, to tell you the truth, but I know I saved them all. A lot of them have the stamp on the back or the stamp on the front of who gave them to me, and they're guys that I know, you know. And we didn't mention Joe Skirto earlier. Joe Skirto's a guy that does a lot of videoing, you know, and he's at all the shows and all, Fireline Video. But, you know, those pitches, and I think, Rob, you tell me if you agree with me, I think what happens with pictures is, you know, you're taking a lot of pictures now, and you know, a lot more people take pictures now than years ago. Everybody's got a camera. Every photo is every phone is a camera now, you know. So a lot more people are taking pictures
yep.
now. But I think pictures grow in value and grow in meaning as years go on. You know, I got a picture of Butch Cobb and myself up on the wall, a picture of Jay Jonas and myself up on the wall at a parade 10 years ago in Manhattan. And, you know, it's just I just sit here and look at these pictures, and I just get such comfort and joy looking at all the stuff and all the people I've been involved with and all the places I've been. And it's just, it's, I got to add one more thing, and you got to tell me if you agree. And, you know, 20 years from now, when I'm talking about something else on the radio, you know what? There's going to be no pictures of 2013, 2015, 2010, 2011, because only guys like you and me print pictures. Everybody else has pictures on their hard drive. Everybody has pictures on their zip drive. Everybody has pictures on their camera. And you know what? Hardly anybody prints pictures anymore. Even people now they even make frames that you can put the electronic pictures in there, and the frame changes to, you know, does a series of 20 different pictures, you know? 20 years from now, when those frames are gone, when the computers are gone, you know, the ones that we're looking at now, a lot of pictures are going to be lost. So I always encourage people, print a few pictures. A few pictures of every role that you, not every role that you take, but every 20 pictures you take, print one or two into an actual physical photograph and put them away somewhere, because I think the electronic ones have a great chance of being lost down the road.
Right. Absolutely.
Well,
I agree.
And I
have boxes of negatives from 20-plus years ago, and, you know, you have a computer failure, you lose stuff from a month ago.
Yeah.
Well, and one of the things I've talked about before on this show, Rob, and with a lot of people, is you know, I'm a big history buff. I got my artifacts that I collect all the time and study the history of the fire service, among other things. But I encourage departments, we did in Louisville, is to create a history committee. And way too many fire departments let their heritage slip out the door, and they're letting things disappear, and they're getting rid of stuff. They're throwing stuff in the garbage, or they're, you know, whatever. And we created this history committee, Rob, where – and we decent-sized department, so we got a couple guys to handle each area. But one area was all our new apparatus and current apparatus and past apparatus, and then new current members, new members, past members, all their, you know, their career, their highlights and stuff. And then, you know, old stuff, light bars, tools, stuff like that, collecting that. But we also started collecting all of our media, you know, both, you know, print and you know, video stuff and our pictures. Exactly for just John, what John just said, because, I mean, Rob, you see it probably all over the place. So many fire departments, they throw away their heritage. It's like, you know, because it's not a color picture. I mean, they just don't have a, I think a lot of guys just don't have an idea what that stuff means. And whether you change the stuff out of the walls, you know, to create some kind of system where you can protect that, like John said, no matter what. I mean, do you get to see, I mean, have you ever seen people just tossing out their heritage, tossing out their history out the firehouse into the trash?
I haven't seen it personally, but yeah, it definitely happens.
I was outside Albany, New York.
I think sometimes you don't realize how valuable it will be to have that 10 years down the line, or that it will mean something 10 years down the line. Right now it might not be important, but definitely will be in the future.
Oh, when guys go to retire, the, you know, pictures of them throughout their career, or, you know, what's old, what doesn't seem old now will be old 100 years from now. So I just think, you know, we're missing something very important. We don't kind of capture our you know, what we're doing and how we're trying to do it. I do have somebody, and I apologize because I got to get back out because there's so many people. We're running everything here. Ask the question about what is a stringer. When you talk about a stringer or a stringer.
So when I worked for the Herald, you'd call up and I was kind of dedicated to them. I was a stringer for them. So I'd go out, shoot spot news overnight, call them up Saturday morning and say, hey, this is what I was at. They'd say, bring your film in and drop it off. So we didn't have a contract or anything, but I was, you could call it freelance for them. It was just another word for that.
Okay.
And then,
all right.
So a stringer is a photographer.
Question. Yeah, it just it's kind of just meant that I was, You know, it's probably a term from way back when, and I don't know the exact meaning, but I used to always be a stringer for the Herald. I was a stringer for the Herald for years. And then the Globe grabbed me and made me a deal and said, you know, would like to have you be a stringer for us. Basically just means when I hit something hot, I'm going to call them.
You've got some loyalty to them.
Nothing,
yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Back in the day, the Globe had a lot more money than the Herald, and film used to, you know, cost $7-$8 a roll, and they'd drop me 10 rolls of film every week to use, and that's well worth it.
Ain't that great? You don't have to buy any film anymore, right? Isn't that wonderful? The film company's got to be going out of business.
And yeah, let me tell you one thing. The anxiety when you are waiting for your film to be developed on a Saturday morning and you were at a big blaze the night before, just trying to figure out, did anything come out? Did it work? Did you load the film right? And, you know, nowadays you shoot the picture and it's instant. You know what to do, or, you know, if you have to adjust it, adjust the flash. Or it's a completely different style. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
You know right away. You know right away. Well, let me do this as we're kind of going to wrap things up a little bit with you, Rob. You kind of hit on some of this before, but, you know, we're sitting around at what I used to call buff meetings, where all those buffs, because I am. I'm a geek. I love the fire service. I'm a buff. Whatever you want to call me, I love the fire service. A bunch of us sitting around, and you got these young guys that come, these young guys and gals, and new cameras or whatever and stuff, and they want to get into it. They want to be you. They want to get into it and have some of the, you know, experiences and some of the successes you've had. What advice would you give to that young, you know, firefighter, you know, buff, cadet, or whoever it is, or the retiree? I mean, there's a lot of guys that retire that they get a camera and they're out there shooting fire scenes. What advice would you give to someone who's getting into what you're doing now, kind of, I'd say, for the first time or new at it?
Take a look out there on the web. I mean, you can look at some of the great photographers. That's how I learned, looking at other people's work. And one big thing that I used to do was a lot of great photographers in Boston. And one of them, I'm sure you've heard the name or know him personally, is Bill Noonan.
Oh, yeah.
And he was the Boston fire photographer for many years. And he was at more fires than you can imagine with me. And I'd shoot a fire, and then I'd be looking for his pictures. That way I can see, oh, how did he look at this? Where did he shoot from?
What a good idea.
You can learn so much
by
someone who has more experience than you and has been to many more fires. And it just that used to be one of the biggest ways I'd learn. You know, look in the newspapers, go to a fire. You'd see the fire in the picture in the newspaper the next day, and you look, and you're like, wow, I never even saw that. I never even thought from that angle. I remember this was in Quincy. The tall ships were coming in. This was back when I had professional gear. I had spent thousands on this stuff, and I was standing next to a photographer who had been shooting for years, and he had old cameras, nothing fancy, and I remember looking and saying, oh, probably not going to get anything good. The next day, I saw the front page of the local paper, and it was his photo, and it was amazing, absolutely amazing. And I said, it's amazing to see how other people can see the same thing as you and shoot it different. So
that's great.
There's plenty of good photography
out
there. Check those websites.
I've never, you know, that's great advice. I've never heard that before, because I've always told people, well, you know, try not to take pictures of just smoke and flames. A lot of newer, you know, news media people, they'll just, you know, they get out there, and I'm like, you got to capture the story, like you said before. I like looking at the pictures. I could sit down with some of the magazine covers, Robin, so is John. We could sit down and do an hour minimum of tactics and strategies just on that one picture, if you will, that one photo, just by grabbing one that's got, you know, a couple different things. And like you said, you know, some variety in it, if you will, as to what you're looking after. So, but and John asked this question earlier to me when we were talking. He says, we got to ask Rob when we get him on there. We've been talking, we're going to talk a lot of photo stuff, a lot of buffing and things like that, and some of your great successes as a photographer and that. But what's new? What's new with your department? What's new in Duxbury? There's got to be some new stuff going on there. I mean, what's taking on your fire department?
You know, I wanted to touch on this quickly, if you're okay with it. Just talk a little bit about our PIO Twitter account. and what it's done for our department, if you're good with that.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, okay, great. So I wasn't a believer in Twitter, I'll be honest. I'm a technology guy, but I just didn't see the benefits of it. And last February we had the blizzard.
Neither do I. I agree with you.
Okay. All right, well, let me try to sell you on it. So last February we had the blizzard, and, you know, we lost power for days up in this area. So people lost their landline phones. Cable was obviously out. Their home computers are down. So limited communications with the real world as far as what's going on with the storm. So my chief actually started a Twitter account, and he used it to start communicating with people, getting the word out, hey, you know, check on your neighbors. If you have problems, let me know this way. It's, you know, and the word spread, and we got a lot of followers quick, and it worked out phenomenal. So after that, we talked about it, and we said we should open up a PIO account, and we should push out what we do, because we think everybody knows what we do. We think you know, when we're going down the street, lights and siren, everyone knows we're going to a fire. Everyone knows we're going to a medical. So the first week I opened up the PIO account, you know, we started to get followers. And the local newspaper called, and they said, wow, you guys had a busy week. And I said, what do you mean? And they said, well, we saw all the stuff on Twitter. And I said, well, that's just a normal week for us, but we've never tweeted before. And she said, really? So it was kind of an eye-opener to realize that no one knows what we do. And if we're not telling people what we're doing, you know, on Sunday we had a chimney fire at 3, we had a house fire at 8, and we had a house fire at 10 o'clock. So we had 3 fires. 99% of the people in my town don't know that we did it. So we push it out on Twitter, and off it goes, and the word's getting out there that we're out there, we're doing a job, and it works great.
So, Rob, is Twitter,
yes.
Excuse my ignorance, is Twitter, and Rick's on Twitter, and he sort of got me started or going or thinking about it or some crap, but anyway, I never really pursued it, I never really did it, but in your town, your Duxbury PIO Twitter, how do the people in your town know to go to it? How do they find it? Is it sort of like Facebook where they're just out there like, floating around or searching around or whatever the hell they call that. How do they find?
I haven't exactly figured out how they find us. But you know, if I'm trying to think, like the school has a Twitter account. So my Twitter account is DXFD_PIO, and it comes up as Duxbury Fire PIO. So I think when someone's searching for Duxbury schools and they follow them, they give them all the Duxbury suggestions. So they'll say, hey, your Duxbury Fire Department is here if you want to follow them.
And let me just throw this in there.
Here.
Rob, I just went to Twitter. I just typed in Duxbury, and the very first thing that came up was Duxbury Fire PIO. Right after that's middle school district. But the very first listing is your listing right there. So all they got to do is...
And then what do you do? Click on that? And then who makes all the entries, Rob? Who puts all the fires in that?
I do. I do it all.
Okay.
So I try to get out on a daily basis what we're doing, but not go overboard. You know, there's a happy medium. People don't want to know that you're going to 15 medicals today, but you have a house fire, you got roads shut down because there's an accident. The other morning, you know, they had black ice, so the major highway coming through town was shut down, so we send it out. And you look at the followers, and people look at us and say, well, you know, you only have... I think 600 followers on one account, 900 on the other. But what happens from there is it gets retweeted. So a few weeks ago, we were out for a large animal rescue. There was a horse stuck, so we were out there trying to give a hand. I sent that out, and it was to over 100,000 people in 2 hours. It's amazing. Yeah,
well,
it's
And Rob and John, hang on 1 second. We got to take a quick pause here for another commercial break, but and acknowledge our sponsor again. But I had a couple questions regarding social media as well. We'll come back with it. So let's hang on and let's hear from our good friends at Grainger once again.
With over 100,000 safety products, it makes me wonder, did Grainger write the book on workplace safety? Get your copy today. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right. Thank you, Grainger, once again.
900,000 products.
And I know I've been in your garage. It's bigger than my house. I've been in there to see all the stuff you got in there too. But
I have 300,000 of them.
Rob, you know, you brought up a great point because that's a big debate out there about social media. And there's times I love it. I've got my two Facebook accounts, my personal one and my like page, and then I've got my Twitter account. And it's a great way, like you said, to get the message out. And I will not post anything on politics. I will not post anything, you know, any of that stuff. For me, that's not my means to get out there and do that. Other people, that's all fine if that's what you do. God bless you. But, you know, two things. First thing is you mentioned something about getting words out about the fire. I don't know if you're in a position where you can kind of comment on, you know, when the big hurricane hit, I don't know if you remember the conversation out of New York City, out of the FDNY, on how much of an impact they had via Twitter and Facebook because of the power outage when it came to reaching. I don't remember how many hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that got their messages, their stuff with the power outage through Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, that was dramatic. They actually had somebody assigned to it. Yeah.
I mean, that was incredible. But now, I mean, there's some do's and don'ts, and we our good friend Dave Stater often posts once in a while, and you know, another social media career suicide. But you know, you're running that, and I take care of ours. We had ours with our department here, and they still have it. Assistant Chief Terry McGrath does a great job with it, Terry does awesome. You know, there's some don'ts that you don't do out there, and can you kind of help some folks out with that might be thinking about getting Twitter set up for the department or Facebook or whatever?
Sure, absolutely. Well, the first thing is a policy, and we didn't reinvent the wheel. I actually called a friend, PIO from Boston Fire, to help me out because they have a Twitter account, very successful. They have probably close to 50,000 followers. I think Boston Police was one of the first police departments that was on Twitter. I'm not 100% sure, but I think, and their following is I think they're one of the biggest police departments for followers also. So those are the people I reached out to help me with a policy, something to throw out some guidelines, let everybody know where we want to go. But one of the big things that I always, this is one you got to be careful about, is just take an accident. Never show a license plate. I never try to give out information that if there was someone very seriously hurt, we don't want to put out there that information that it could get back to a relative before, you know, before they were officially notified or something along those lines. And we try to use it as a tool to get the information out to the media. For instance, the other night, after we cleared the second fire, there was some information out there that the press would have been calling all night long. We can blast out the basic information on Twitter, and they use it straight from our Twitter account. Working in TV before I came here, I have a lot of media contacts, so they all follow us already. It works out phenomenal. It's a great tool to get to them really, really fast.
And you mentioned having a good policy. I mean, we've said it before on the show. When it comes to imaging, you know, you said, you know, all the medical stuff with HIPAA is some serious, serious stuff, and guys have lost jobs.
Absolutely.
Over that. And I guess you just got to use some common sense and be smart. You know, maybe if you don't have someone that really is dialed in, I think you'd recommend the same thing, that they get a partner, someone that reviews some stuff. You know, a lot of times it takes that, having somebody that is there that you can go, hey, am I okay to put this out, kind of thing. Before you put, and if you ever doubt yourself, ask someone, obviously, but I think that's huge there, is having that and getting that information out. So, but anything else new going on in Dunsbury?
I think that's one of the bigger things.
You got your dispatch
also
going at, Rob.
Sure, absolutely. We took dispatch over from the police, last year. So now we're answering all 911 phones for the town, which is great. We opened up a regional dispatch center. And we're going to be picking up a couple of towns around us as the years go by here. We just picked up our second town, which is starting in January. So we'll be doing a regional police, fire, and EMS dispatch center, which is great for the town. So
absolutely.
That's good.
Very cool. Well, let's throw this out there. If anybody wanted to get a hold of you, Obviously, we've got your information, but if they want to get a hold of you, we already talked about your website. Maybe that's got all your contact information at, you know, on it. How about some contact information, Twitter and everything else?
Let's emails or whatever. Yep.
Sure. Twitter works great. If they want to contact me on that, it's DXFD_PIO, D Delta X X-ray, FD as in fire department, _PIO. My website is allcompanieswerking.com, and I also have another Twitter account for my photos, which is All Companies ACW Fire Photos. So they can follow that if they'd like to. Any of those ways, I answer those accounts. That's an easy way to contact me. Sorry, I'm not a Facebooker. I'm just stuck on Twitter at this point. Baby steps.
And a lot of people are no longer doing Facebook. It's example, but people are still doing Twitter. Twitter's still huge.
Well, until the next one comes, right?
Well, buddy, Rob, I I'm gonna let John jump in here because obviously I met you through John. And first of all, I can't thank you for what you did to help us with our latest book, Five Alarm Leadership, from the firehouse to the fireground, and some of your photos. Some of the things you do for training, but what you do, I mean, I know you are one of us. You're part of the fire service. I don't want people to think I'm talking to a photographer from the newspaper. I'm talking to Captain Rob Reardon, and the fact that you wear so many different hats. Obviously, we've been talking about that, but I want to personally thank you for what you've done and what you do. John mentioned it before, whether it's retirees or whether it's people who are active, being able to document their careers for families. You mentioned a wife, or, you know, there's so many things that I could go on right now that you have done for the fire service and outside the fire service as well. I want to take that opportunity to thank you for that and for your time with coming on the show and sharing with you. You've changed lives tonight. I know I've got some people that were looking to dial in and listen tonight because they wanted to know. So that's where I got some of the questions from, too.
That's great.
How can I get better at taking photos? So I wanted to say thank you, buddy. I really appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
I appreciate
it. Rob, I appreciate it.
We appreciate the opportunity.
My first visit was great, you know. And when Rick, actually Rick mentioned to me, he said, oh, you know what, we get another show coming up. And, you know, we always bounce it around a little bit a week or two before, you know, who we're going to get on and, you know, who'll be our guest and all that. And he mentioned you first. He said, oh, how about Rob, you know. I said, yeah, let me bang him a quick email and see if he gets back. And you got back to me the following day. Sounded like a good idea to you. So, again,
oh, yeah.
Like
no,
Rick
great.
Said, appreciate you coming out and spending the time with us this evening. I hope you enjoyed it because we just, you know, as I said, I enjoyed coming up and visiting. I enjoyed coming up and training with you guys. And I enjoyed your visits down in the firehouse as well. And certainly the stuff that you brought along with you and all that. So I hope you enjoyed this evening as much as we did.
I did, and I'd like to get together sometime again for some training up here with both of you. That would be, I think that would be amazing to have you guys back up to the New England area, run another big training seminar, get lots of guys in.
As long as it's not in baseball season, okay?
I don't know how he does it when he goes places with the Boston hats. I just can't figure that out because he gets way too
serious. Everywhere I go, there is some nitwit in row 13 wearing a damn Red Sox hat. Everywhere I go. Like they're mailing them around.
The first time I went to his firehouse, the guy I was with mentioned he was going to go put his Red Sox shirt on. And the response he got from Chief Salka, he didn't put any Red Sox shirt on, I can tell you that.
Golly.
Not in the Bronx, you're not wearing a Red Sox shirt.
Yeah, you made that pretty clear, but there were some words we won't say here.
Yes, and our friendship endured anyway.
Yes, yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
Rob,
all right,
thank
Rob.
You so much, buddy. Thank you so much, brother. You have a great holiday season coming up here, and be safe. And, you know, we appreciate you, pal.
We'll be in touch.
You too. And when you need photos for the next book, you know where to call. Thanks, guys.
Oh, and we do. There's a couple of good books coming up. We're going to definitely be in touch.
Perfect.
Thank
all
you,
right.
My friend. Thanks,
we'll
Rob.
We'll talk to you soon.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
What a great guy, John. What a great guy.
Oh, yeah. You know what? The first time I met him, when I went up to Duxbury, the first time I went up there, he was just so hospitable, so professional. So, as you can hear him, he's very, you know, just clear speaking, and he you know, knows what he's talking about. He's well versed in everything. It just was a pleasure to meet him. And then, of course, he asked to come down and visit, you know, the 18th Battalion, and he was welcomed, and he had a great time there. And then you see this other whole dimension of him with the photos and the website and all companies working, which is just great stuff.
Oh, it is. And what he's capturing, like we said, there's been so many great photographers we've been around and, you know, had the honor to be with, and there's so many great ones out there. When you start talking about the whole retirement thing, he had mentioned, you know, guys that are on duty walking to the firehouse and, you know, a wife calling, all that, but that's a whole other side. A lot of people don't think about that. You know, we've said it before, when you've got 30-something years and you retire as a volunteer or career firefighter and you're done, you know, most guys, whether they admit it or not, John, they want to look back once in a while. They want to look back and go, wow, look it up. I was kicking ass, you know what I'm saying? And you have those good memories, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right. Well, hey, folks, we appreciate you being with us tonight. You know, I know we do a lot of talks on leadership and tactics and strategy and things like that, but, you know, it was great to have someone on tonight that, you know, the reason that we use the photos we do in our classes and that you see what you see in the magazine, on television, and everything else is because of the talented people out there like Rob Reardon. So, you know what, follow him on Twitter with Duxbury. You know, see what he's got. Go to his website. Check him out. He's got some great stuff. Hey, buddy, our next show is January 2nd. We want to get this out every time, John. If they want to get a hold of you, what email should they use?
If you were looking for me, it's firecomtraining@AOL.com. Yeah, it's one word, and it's easy to type in there.
And your website's similar to it. I mean, you know.
And the website is Fire Command Training. Absolutely. Fire Command Training is the website. And there's additional information on that. There's an interest sheet you can fill out if you're interested in me coming out there doing some training or something like that. There's an interest sheet you can send to me directly, or you can just send me a separate individual email.
And same thing here, folks. You can catch me at prideandownership.com. And at my email, 5alarmleadership, and 5 is spelled out, 5alarmleadership@gmail.com. Or if you want John and I together, we do a ton of stuff together. Like I said, the company officer academies are posted. I know I have them on my website calendar and on the Facebook page. If you're looking for one to come to your area, and you know, we post a lot of our stuff on our calendars, but keep in mind that, you know, we've got some personal family stuff as well. And a lot of times we won't post when we're consulting with a group or helping somebody through a tough time or whatever. So if you see like an opening in there for a week or two, it may not be. So the best thing to do is get a hold of John or myself as fast as you can and go, okay, what do you got open so we can start working with you? There's nothing more disappointing, John, than having somebody, hey, we want you to come out in February. I just had a real nice guy ask me, we'd like you to come out and speak in February. I'm like of 2014? He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, dude, I'm already, you know, jammed up there. So, but that's it. So, hey, buddy, you have a nice evening. And it was a pleasure as always.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hope everybody enjoyed the show, and we'll catch you next month.
All right, folks, and we end all our shows with two very important words right before we give you another word from our sponsor. But those words are, be safe.
When we put out fires, it ain't the metaphor kind, kid. That's why I use Grainger. They got everything. They got Bullard helmets, Cosmos boots, Elkhart brass nozzles, and on top of it all, Grainger's got the inventory management solutions to keep the heat off the books. Heck, they've got just about everything you need for the fire station, except the trucks. When you think fire rescue, you think Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Grainger.com/public safety, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.